right. I'm working through some things, Lee. This is like therapy for me on a Friday morning. I'm feeling I felt terrible last night.
You sound a lot better than you did to start the show.
Felt terrible this morning. Felt pretty terrible at 8:55, but here we are at about 10 o'clock in the morning, and I'm starting to work through some things. I like that Funches accidentally butt-dialed me because he just texted me. I want to read this to you.
Okay.
Remember when I said yesterday that, hey, Funches is obviously having a good time in Hawaii because he hasn't even sent us a single text or a pretty picture of the islands or a fruity drink.
Hasn't sent you anything. But
that's what you,
Yeah.
Doesn't send me anything, right. Called you by accident, ha-ha, listening right now, scrambled eggs is the way to go. So Funches is listening to the show. How you doing, Funch? Hope you're enjoying paradise. See you on Monday.
Okay, ready for this? I swear on my life, and I could even show it to you here on my phone. Funches on my phone, okay? Let me read something from Funches. This is on July 10th, which was a Saturday, at 9:47 in the morning. Sorry, man, butt dialed you. Ha ha. I swear on my life. It's the same exact thing. I got a FaceTime from him on a Saturday morning, followed by a phone call, and then the butt dial. Funch, I don't know if you only got two contacts in your phone, but how you butt dialed just me and just Travis is absolutely amazing.
I feel a little left out here. I haven't gotten a butt dial yet.
Yeah, I was going to say, Emily is going to get a call at 6 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday for like, whoa, whoa, whoa. By the way, let me ask you guys this. Am I the only one that when my phone rings and it's from one of my friends, I assume someone's dead? nobody calls anybody anymore, right? And if I see one of my friends call, I'm like, okay, what happened? Is everybody okay? Is everybody what?
We
what
are
do you want?
Similar. We are similar in this, and you've mentioned this to me a couple times where we're on a call or we're having a conversation. Like, hey, hold on, that's my son, or that's and you say, every time I get a call, I just want to make sure you know everything's okay. You kind of remind me of like a worried mother or a worried grandmother. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you kind of have that. But I get it. You know, there are a lot of times like a family member calls. I'm like, okay, what's going on here? Do you really want to know how I'm doing or is there something going on? I'm kind of with you on that.
For me, I'm someone who calls people randomly, though. Like, I'm someone who, like, calls my friends randomly when I know they're off work. And now I'm worried that they think that I'm giving them bad news. I'm just like, oh, I'm free. You're free. Let's catch up and chat.
Well, you have a positive energy and attitude. You should stop that immediately, okay? You should
be more like Travis. In the year 2021, making someone's phone ring on purpose is downright rude.
Calling someone to ask how they're doing is disrespectful.
Very rude. Because here's how this needs to go, Emily. Let me help you out here. Who's the person that you most recently called? What's that person's name?
Jerry.
Funches.
Jerry. Okay. So you should text Jerry and say, hey, Jerry, you got a minute? Can I give you a call? You need to fire that text in there first before you call Jerry.
But that setup is not good.
Yeah, that makes me think that I'm in trouble. Like, do you have a second to talk?
You can just say, hey, I had a few minutes, just wanted to catch up. You around? But if I see Emily pop up on my caller ID, I'm like, I assume that something terrible has happened out of the blue. It's just kind of my nature.
Those type of texts, to get something like that, I'm still on the, oh, something's wrong.
Not if they qualify it. If you say, hey, you know, because here's my thing. I will sometimes when I'm in the long car ride, for instance, yesterday I had a long drive and I texted like, hey, you know, I'm in the car. You mind if I call and just we can chat? It's fine. That's fine. But you can't just come in cold. Very, very scary. All right. Travis Lee is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. Here we go. A late ask Slee. This is a new name, which I love. This is from Broke Man. Broke Man writes, I got a good one. Hashtag ask Slee. This is great. Would you rather watch the Clippers win the championship or watch Kenley Jansen blow Game 7 of the World Series? That's brutal.
Jesus. tough one there. There's a lot of hesitation on that one.
I think I know the answer.
Yeah, I can't. That's tough. I can't see the Clippers win a championship.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think as gut-wrenching as it would be to watch the Dodgers blow a Game 7 in the World Series, at least they were in the World Series. At least they're playing well. At least they're on track to go. I can't live in a world where the Clippers are a world champion. I just don't want to do that.
Well, I feel better that you feel the same way, but that's a tough question there. Stop with these tough questions. Jesus.
Speaking of late ask-slees, let's go to a call, asks.
What is this? Overtime here? What are we doing here?
Look, I can only talk about Dave Roberts burning the stadium to the ground for so long. I need 5 minutes.
Actually, you can't, because I guarantee you people, that's all they want to talk about. All right, let's go. One more.
We'll get back to Dave deciding that, hey, that don't be – no, Dave. Old boy out there, number 74. No, not him. Not last night. Not along there. Manuel in Gardena. Manuel, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up?
Hey, Travis and Slee. First off, Travis, man, hey, you enunciated that best. I mean, I'm with you on Roberts and Jansen. It's loyalty to a fault, man, and they'll get it right, man. I honestly, in my heart of hearts, feel that they'll get it right. Okay, let's get down to business. Ask Sliwa. Here we go. Now, this is at Lady Slee's insistence, so you have to do it, Slee. It's one or the other, okay? She's going to make you go out on the town, and you're going to either have to wear, like, one of those yacht captain hats, like the Captain and Tennille, or a beret. Which one are you going with? Love the show. Ask Sliwa.
Appreciate you calling in, Manuel. Appreciate you calling in. Throw the captain hat on. I'll just do the captain hat. We'll take our chances.
Love will keep us together.
Do you find this? I don't know about you. I love those. You know, I like those hats. There's kind of the how do I describe? There's certain hats you can go. You can go into a certain store and they got kind of nicer hats. Different, not you know, obviously not
a haberdashery, if you will.
Yeah, well, problem is, every one I put on, I'm like, this thing just doesn't fit. Like none of them look right. You know what I mean? None of them actually look right, but I'll go Captain Hat.
Let the captain and Tennille do this right here. See? I'm just pretty happy that I was able to pull a Captain and Tennille song out of the top of my head. Here's the other thing. When he said Captain's Hat, I wasn't thinking so much Captain or the Captain from Captain and Tennille. I was thinking like Skipper from the Gilligan's Island. I was thinking that kind of that version of the hat.
I'll take
one. Does that work for you?
I'll throw one of those on, and then she'll be like, nah, we're not even going out anymore.
Yeah, like call her bluff. You don't have to do it.
She's going to say, you look like an idiot. We're just saying, oh.
Put the beret on. That looks worse. All right. I'm going to try. I don't think I'm going to succeed, but I'm going to try here. I'm going to try to be less emotional and more objective about the last couple of nights. Really bad losses. The Dodgers should be in first place as we sit here instead of three games back. That being said, there's two full months of the season left. There's lots of baseball left, and I want to ask you this question because it's changed for me. Mm-hmm. At the beginning of the season, and even when the Dodgers went through that 5-15 stretch where they played really crummy baseball, if you said to me, do the Dodgers win this division, I would have said yes, and you said, how strong do you feel about it? I said, I'll bet you my card that they win this division. Mm-hmm. You ask me that same question right now here, July 23rd or whatever today is, I would say, yeah, I think the Dodgers win the division. Well, how much do you want to bet on it? I don't know, $6? That's how much it's changed. I think they'll win. I think that they have the best team. I think that the guys that they're missing will come back and be healthy. But I genuinely do not feel about this team the way that I did several months ago, because you can't just keep saying there's lots of time left. You can't just keep saying guys will get healthy. You can't just keep saying when guys start to play like they're supposed to play, everything will be fine. Because stop me if you've heard that song before, Al, Laker basketball.
Mm-hmm. I want to kind of put stuff in perspective. Before the series against the Giants, I know I had mentioned to you that if you walked away 2-2, this is how I felt. I felt you would feel pretty good about yourself because of the circumstances. I don't want to make excuses, Trav, but it's not like Mookie Betts is playing. It's not like Kershaw got a start. It's not like Corey Seager is sitting like you were mentioning and is a part of that, you know, critical play in the ninth inning. The conversation we don't have to have about Trevor Bauer anymore, because it has not been a conversation. But before the season started, there was the context of how we were describing the Dodgers and you betting your car on it, the circumstances are not the same. You know, so I think you saying, I don't even want to bet $6 on it anymore, it's not like all these guys are in and the San Francisco Giants are beating the best Dodger players. That has not been the case. Now, has there been critical mistakes? Can you point the finger at Dave Roberts? Can you say you had Urias and you had Walker Buehler do exactly what you asked them to do in these final two games of this series and you still lost? You can kind of put all that in perspective, but I think that if you're a Dodger fan right now, you should be upset the way this last week has gone. You should be frustrated. You should also be a little bit concerned because you're right. We are kicking the can down the road and saying, just wait, just wait, just wait. Everybody's going to come back. But at the same time, I think you have to put that in perspective as well, Trav.
I think that most of the things that we're talking about will turn out to be right. I think that Corey Seager will come back. I think he'll be good. I think Mookie will come back. I think he'll be good. I think that Clayton Kershaw will come back. I think that he'll be good.
Will Cody Bellinger come back?
With the deadline. No, notice I didn't put him in there.
Yeah.
I think they'll make a trade for a starting pitcher. I wouldn't be surprised if they go out and get a closer. And I don't think that Dave Roberts is a crazy person. I think that he's going to come to the realization that Jansen's not the right guy. I believe. But here's the rub, Slee. If all of those things don't happen, if just one or two of them don't happen, we're back in Laker territory because we keep saying, no, just wait, just wait, just wait. Well, one of the two things didn't happen
similar.
And they were out. Mm-hmm. So it's a slippery slope to be sure. Let's try a quick phone call here. L.A. and Mark. Mark, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up, Mark?
Yeah, thanks, guys, for taking my call. I was waiting for a while there. But I kind of want to say last night was a microcosm of Dave Roberts' managerial career with the Dodgers. And, Travis, if you polled 30 GMs and 30 baseball writers and they asked for managers for strategy-wise and how to handle a bullpen, I guarantee you Dave Roberts would be in the bottom half. So here's the bottom line. If they don't make it to the World Series with the talent they have, Dave Roberts, because the organization loves him so much, so they should promote him to director of community relations so he can kiss babies and make speeches, and then get a real baseball guy in here like Buck Showalter or Socha who can handle
a bullpen, push the right buttons. Let me jump in there, Mark. Hold on a second. Let me. First of all, bullpen management that you mentioned, I agree with you, is the number one job that a baseball manager has right now. A major league manager's number one priority every single season is how do I manage my pitching staff, in particular my bullpen, so when we get to the end of the season, they're as fresh as you can possibly be. It's exceedingly difficult, and it's the number one priority they have. So I'm with you on that, and I don't think he does a great job, generally speaking. But this season, he's done a look at what he's being asked to do. He's being asked to win games with two starting pitchers, and they are. So let's just put that aside. Look, his end-of-the-game management last night was a disaster. We've set that up. I led the charge, okay? Here's the other part. Baseball strategy, the way that you're talking, whether that Buck Showalter did it or does it, the way that Mike Socha did it or does it, that's dodo bird stuff, man. It's gone. It doesn't exist anymore. The math is telling you that that stuff doesn't work. That they're not Earl Weaver and Tommy Lasorda and Billy Martin aren't sitting in the dugout saying, you know what? I think that a hit and run right here would really catch him flat-footed. That's not what's happening anymore. What they're doing is the math says put this guy here, put that guy there, throw this pitch to this guy. They're playing the numbers over and over and over again. Those guys are not coming back.
Trav, I will say this, results-driven, but it's also going to have some context to it. If this past season, if Anthony Davis was healthy and the Lakers just lost to the Phoenix Suns in the first round and everyone was there, the conversation about Frank Vogel would be different. The reason why I'm bringing that up, if Dave Roberts doesn't have – we just went through this list of, you know, you were saying, well, if one or two of these guys don't come back, if Kershaw's not 100%, or if Corey Seager continues to have issues, or Cody Bellinger can't hit, or whatever the case is, the question's going to come down to for Dave Roberts, depending on how far the Dodgers go, did they have their full squad? Were they healthy? Did the front office make moves before the trade deadline? I think that's also going to give a lot more. The criticism will also depend on who's there compared to before the season started.
All right, so keep calling in with the Dodger stuff, 877-710-ESPN. Whose fault was it mostly last night? Umpires, Dave Roberts, Sheldon Noisy, Kenley Jansen, take your pick. There's a lot of blame to go around. Keep those calls coming, 877-710-ESPN. But coming up next, did these two Lakers really hate each other, and does it even matter?
Got some other Laker news, too, as well.
I like it. It's all coming up. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN. I worked at Sears twice. Two separate times that I worked at Sears.
What does that mean?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I worked in the men's department.
Okay.
I sold, like, you know, jeans and suits and not suits. That was its own apart. But, you know, underwear, T-shirts, jeans.
Street clothes.
Men's clothes. Yeah. Just did that. So I had that job for a while. That was when I was in high school. And then when I got my very first radio job, right, I was making literally, this is not an exaggeration, I made $5 an hour and I was on the clock for 4 hours a day. So I was making $20 an hour.
You're overpaid. Okay?
And I had to work at Sears at night. I worked at Sears selling hardware. I never got into the Kenmore stuff, Chris, but if you have any questions about your Craftsman tools, I'm your guy. I can walk you. I don't know how to use any of them, but I know where they are. I know how much they cost. I can sell you a maintenance agreement. I know which ones are guaranteed for life and which ones aren't. I got your back, Slee.
Are there any Sears anymore? Like,
not as many as there used to be.
This is why I was confused, Trap, because you said it you know, at two different times. So it was two different stints, two different careers. It's like a major league player who at one point played for the Dodgers, then went and played for, you know, the A's, and then came back and ended up playing for the Dodgers. So you it up that way as if it was, you know, as if you were a professional player.
Well, I was a professional tool salesman. That's kind of what I was. Quick tweet here, Al, before we get to the Lakers. Cameron Leach writes, "What's the definition of insanity again?" And then he writes Dave Roberts. Of course, we all know that one, right? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Right?
I do that all the time, by the way. I do that every single night almost.
I don't know why I'm putting on weight. Just because I eat a pizza every night at 9:30, I don't know why I'm not losing weight. I'm doing it exactly the same way every time.
I had half the crust. So if that's not good enough, screw you.
Exactly. Yeah, look, I want to say this because I know I went at Dave hard at the beginning of the show, and I stand by everything I said. Just because he had a terrible night last night, which he did, just because he had a terrible postgame doubling down on Kenley being our guy, which he did, just because he attempted to create some misdirection about the umpires, which he did, doesn't make him a bad manager. He had a bad night.
It was
a really bad night on the heels of another bad night. That doesn't mean that he's a bum. It doesn't mean that you kick him out. The man's been to the World Series three times since he's been the manager of the Dodgers. That doesn't mean he sucks. It means he had two bad nights.
He had a bad couple of nights. I think it's safe to say nobody liked hearing his post-game comments, right? Some of the, well, you know, we won the game already twice. If this would happen, I felt like he was, like you mentioned this a couple times, he was deflecting the blame rather than kind of putting it on his shoulder, which everybody feels like it should be on his shoulder. So it's a combination of things. You're playing the San Francisco Giants. You had a chance to be up in the division. People are heated about Dave Roberts. They should be, Trav, right? These were not regular games where they – we say this all the time. Sometimes a game means more than just one, and it felt like these last couple of games were critical, could change the momentum. You got six more games left against the Giants. All of them are going to be in Frisco.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. So you are plugged into the Lakers, Slee, as much as anybody else. Did you know that Kyle Kuzma and Dennis Schroeder apparently hated each other's guts? Because that's the story that's making its way through the internet, that was part of the Laker disconnect, is that those two guys in particular really couldn't get on the same page.
So Jordan Schultz, league sources say Dennis Schroeder and Kyle Kuzma feuded throughout the season, with things going further south throughout the Lakers' first-round series versus Phoenix. Interesting note to consider heading to draft and free agency. So can I just say this? You know, first of all, they should figure it out. Whatever issues that they have together, they should figure it out. You want to know why, Trav?
Hit me.
Because any package that the Lakers put together to go after some other player probably includes the both of those guys. So they'll probably still be playing with each other. That's number one. The second thing is, you know, I don't know how to properly say this. Nobody cares that Dennis Schroeder and Kyle Kuzma were not getting along together. They just don't. Like, you're not good enough for that to be a story, in my opinion. That doesn't mean that there can't be, you know, you want guys to obviously get along. You don't want turmoil in the locker room and so forth. But If Anthony Davis has an issue with LeBron James, yeah, that's a story. If Anthony Davis has an issue with KCP, yeah, that's a story. But two guys that really, the only conversation we've really had about Kyle Kuzma, as much as he's trying to be a role player, a team player, all that stuff, the dude is, we put him up on this pedestal and he has not lived up to those expectations. It's not even close. He has not, right? And maybe that's our fault for trying to set those expectations for him. Dennis Schroeder was supposed to come in this year and be a certain type of player, was not the player that we thought he was going to be, kind of heard him throughout the season, whether it's about the contract talks, whatever the case is. I personally think we probably saw Dennis Schroeder's last game with the Lakers. I could be wrong, but you just every report that comes out there, it's Lakers trying to go get Russell Westbrook, Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan. No, nobody's talking about keeping Dennis Schroeder. So those are two guys that if they were having some internal beef, you're just not good enough to be guys that are distracting the Los Angeles Lakers while you're trying to go win an NBA championship.
I'll co-sign all of that. I think you're spot on. But here's something I'd like to add to that. This is why, and I said this during the season, and I've said it since the season ended, that it never really seemed like Dennis Schroeder kind of got what being a Lakers about. Right? That being a member of the Lakers is not the same thing as being a member of the Atlanta Hawks or the Oklahoma City Thunder or the Sacramento Kings. It's not. It's different. And the difference is you have to understand that your deal is not as important as the team's deal, that your deal is not as important in particular of the star players' deal, namely LeBron and Anthony Davis. And when those guys weren't there, it just seemed like this was a guy that was trying to do what he would do on any other team, that he was just – he never kind of got that idea, which means when you go out into the free agency market, when you go out into the trade market – you need to make sure that the guy that you're going to get is a lot more Danny Green than Dennis Schroeder. And I'm not talking about game. I'm talking about understanding your role in the Laker universe, which is I'm over here if you need me, but I understand that everything is going to be going over there first.
So I want to push back against that for a second. I'll tell you why. Whenever I hear, well, it's the Lakers, it should be different. I get what you're saying there. It's not just that it's the Lakers. But it's when Dennis Schroeder is playing for the Lakers. Dennis Schroeder is playing for the Lakers at a time where it's championship or bust. So I think that's more the important thing. Because when it was D'Angelo Russell and just kind of Julius Randle naming off some of these other players, if people had more of a personal agenda because the team wasn't good, I kind of understood that. Like, I get it. You're winning 20 games a year or whatever you're
100%.
Winning.
Yeah.
Now you're in a position where if you're – The Lakers were coming off an NBA championship. There was already Laker fans that were, man, why did we kind of change up this roster? Rondo was a good fit, and Dwight Howard was perfect. You had enough veterans. I actually don't really blame Dennis Schroeder. I think it was known Schroeder was going to go kind of use this year to go try to get a big contract. I think that's more on the front office and making sure that you're finding the right guys that mix at this time. And I don't think they're going to make the same mistake twice. If last offseason was a mistake, I feel like by the time the dust settles this offseason, Lakers are going to go get veterans, guys that are trying to win a championship right now.
Hit me real quick, Al. The Lakers are always in the middle of big names, right? They're always in the middle of, well, this guy could come here or that guy could come here. We talked about it yesterday. Russell Westbrook and Chris Paul. Damian Lillard's name gets thrown around. Now we're hearing DeMar DeRozan's name thrown around. Yeah. By the time the dust settles, by the time we go to training camp here in a couple of months, do the Lakers have a third name on this team, or are they going to fill it with guys?
No, I think they have a third guy. I really do. I feel like they have a third guy, and I think there's some contracts that actually play to the Lakers' advantage. I thought the Kuzma contract, that's a good contract. $13 million a year. He's young enough where he can be an asset somewhere else, a team that's not really going anywhere. They'll take their chances on Kuz. The key is going to be Dennis Schroeder. Will Schroeder accept a sign-and-trade somewhere? Well, he may if a team is willing to give him the money that he's looking for, and the Lakers, as an incentive, can throw in guys like THT, and I know a lot of Laker fans don't want to hear that, but personally, if you ask me, you're trying to win a championship. You're not going to stop because of Talen Horton-Tucker, or at least you shouldn't, or you shouldn't stop because of Kyle Kuzma. So there's a report from Brad Turner, and you know BT, I'm a big, big fan of the Los Angeles Times, put in one of his articles that there are rumors out there that DeMar DeRozan would take less money to come back to play for LA, be a part of the Los Angeles Lakers, whether it's DeMar or whether it's Kyle Lowry or whether it's Chris Paul or Russell Westbrook, and maybe some of these are pipe dreams. I don't think the Lakers are coming back to this upcoming season without that kind of real third-tier, third all-star player that you think, okay, that's clearly the third best player on this team.
You know what my goal is for a Friday?
What do you got?
I want to feel like PJ Tucker by the end of the day.
Oh, PJ.
I want to get into that coming up in just a little bit. Plus more, your Dodger phone calls, 877-710-ESPN. Who do you blame for last night? Because there's another guy that deserves, maybe not specifically for last night, but there's a reason the Dodgers are where they are right now, because somebody's not carrying their weight. I'll tell you who it is. It's next. It's Travis and Slee, 710-ESPN. You know, I was going to tell Chris yesterday that that was actually K-pop. Covering J-pop, but yep, I didn't want to make him look bad.
All that stuff. All that stuff comes into play. We're two very respectful, nice individuals, and we don't want to call people out. Immediately when I heard that track yesterday,
it was the wrong setup.
It was the wrong setup.
Yeah, well, no, nobody. Look, he had Dave Roberts had a bad night last night, and Chris got the J-pop / K-pop mixed up on Wednesday.
I texted Amanda right when I heard it, and I said, "This is BS. I can't work.
We got to
like
do
this.
Better. Let's tighten up. Let's go." You know what, Slee? What time is it? Hold on, let me get the exact time. It's 10:35.
Yep.
Okay. I would very much like at some point before 10:35 p.m. tonight to be in the same headspace that P.J. Tucker was in yesterday during the parade through Milwaukee, because P.J. Tucker looked like he was having the time of his life.
What kind of a drunk are you? When you're starting to feel buzz, everybody is a little bit different. Describe Travis Rogers when he's thrown too many back.
Super good mood. Like, I'm not the guy that gets in fights. I'm not the guy that gets confrontational. I'm not the guy that gets surly and mad. It's not my deal at all. I'm having the time of my life.
You take me as somebody that gets very emotional.
No, I'm not the guy that's crying. I'm not, put it to you this way. If I have a couple of whiskeys.
You want to have like a long conversation with somebody. You want to corner them and just kind of just talk.
I might do that. I might do that. But put it to you this way. If you and I went out and had some bourbons.
Yep.
Okay. And by bourbons, I mean bottles. That if we go out and do that, I'm not, at the end of the night, I'm not going to have my arm around your shoulder going, "Al, I love you, buddy. I just got to tell you that I love you." You know, I'm not doing that. That's not my deal. But I may get like deep, which probably not being deep at all, because this is what we all sound like when we've entered the PJ Tucker zone. This is him talking about how the Bucks all have dogs, I think. You tell me what PJ Tucker was going for yesterday.
Like, I got here like we already got dogs. They just don't know how to be dogs, and we're going to be dogs. And our dogs is crazy. We got dogs, you hear me? Milwaukee, we dogs.
Slee. We dogs.
What happened?
We Taylor and Emily and you and me.
That quote will be in their locker room. The full quote next season. That will be the motivation. Do you remember when PJ Tucker said this, and then everybody kind of starts riling up?
Like, I got here like we already got dogs.
Look. I loved it. I'm glad that he was having a great time. I'm glad that he was feeling it the way that he does. You know what it made me feel like a little bit? I didn't get to see any drunk Dodgers. I didn't get to see any drunk Lakers when they won last year, because we've seen drunk Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. We saw drunk PJ Tucker. I want to see drunk Mookie Betts.
Drunk is not that's not the right word. Drunk hammered is the right word. Yeah, hammered is – drunk is you're feeling pretty good, whatever's going on. Hammered is you're throwing the trophy on a boat. Okay? Hammered is PJ Tucker. If I was the Milwaukee Bucks, I'd be like, PJ, why don't you give us 15 seconds? And you know what? Let Middleton come up after that. Throw Holiday up there.
It's one of those you expected Budenholzer to kind of maybe go, "Hey, PJ, thanks, buddy."
Everybody left him.
Just leave him out there
to
go.
We got dogs, you hear me? We dogs.
I want drunk Alex Caruso.
I want to see
what that feels like. I want to see what Alex Caruso on three bottles
that's
of champagne is like.
Good one. AC, Alex Caruso, and you're right. You know what? We didn't get that opportunity to see somebody get plastered in some type of a parade or something along those lines. Who's another good one for the Lakers? I think Dudley would be good, but I think Dudley would be good either way, whether he's drunk or not. Like, it's just good. Who else on the Lakers? Who on the Dodgers would you want to see?
You know who would have been fun drunk on the Lakers would be JaVale. JaVale last year when they won the championship.
Dwight would have been good too.
Dwight would have been good. I just don't like Dwight, so that's one that doesn't really hit me right. But
why?
Because Dwight's intentionally goofy. I don't like goofy on purpose. I like goofy just because, like, just because you are. But when you're doing your deal like Dwight's doing, that's not my. You know who I'd like to see drunk?
Rondo would have had a straight face. There would have been.
Yeah, he would have. Rondo may be the guy that you don't want to see drunk. That may go a different way. I don't know.
KCP, I feel like, would have acted the same as he would in game 4 of the NBA Finals. Like,
exactly.
Just the exact same personality.
How about Cody Bellinger? How about
Bellinger would have been thrashed.
But Bellinger already looks like he's just super relaxed under the best of circumstances. He looks he looks pretty chill.
He looks high. I think that's
he does. Yeah. He does look a little high. Uh-huh. But I wouldn't mind seeing that. I wouldn't mind seeing Clayton Kershaw have a few because Kershaw kind of files into the Tom Brady, right? That so buttoned up, so careful about what he says. Mm-hmm. The image that he has put out to the world is very carefully cultivated and clean cut, really.
Yep. Kershaw would have had his shirt off. He'd have been cursing into the crowd.
Tom Brady couldn't walk. They had to carry him off the boat.
It's just an avocado tequila. Don't worry about it.
Uh-huh.
Can I tell you something? That Tom Brady moment, I don't know about you, took him to another level. Like, the guy has 7 Super Bowls. What can you possibly do to make people think that you're even greater than you are? That's what you do in your 7th Super Bowl without Belichick and the Patriots, and it goes another level.
Travis Lee is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Spent most of the day talking about Dave Roberts last night and him kicking the can. Just absolutely disaster for the Dodgers. Not only leaving Kenley Jansen in there, but putting him in there in the first place. On the heel of 27 pitches on Wednesday, he had him throw 33 more last night. Just a bad play across the board. Let's try to the phone call. Palos Verdes. George, you're on with Travis and Slee.
Hey, you guys. How's it going today?
Hey, George.
Good, George. Appreciate you calling in.
Hey, real quick, I got a comment and a question about Kenley Jansen. I was able to go to Dodger Stadium when, you know, it first opened and it was 5th capacity this season. And we hosted the Brewers. And Kenley Jansen goes in with a very short lead, maybe a 2-run lead. And he blows it. And because it's so underpopulated there, you could hear a pin drop. The fans lacerated Kenley Jansen. He could hear every word, these fans just jeering him because he blows short leads. And that leads me to my question to you guys. His stats about saving games, I think, are inflated with this variable because he's saving games where the leads are 7 runs or we're up 10 runs or we're up 5 runs. So,
well, let me jump in there, George. That's not true. That's just inaccurate. You don't get a save if it's more than 3 runs. It has to be 3 runs or less, just the nature of the statistic itself. I hear what you're saying, though. I agree with your general point. You need somebody that can pitch with a 1-run lead. And right now, look, last night they had a 2-run lead, and they lost. The night before that, they had a 2-run lead, and they lost. Or I should say 1-run lead, and they lost. This is a problem, and it's not so much how many saves that you have. It's not so much what is your ERA or your WHIP. It's not that. What it is what does the ball look like coming out of your hand? Are you attacking the strike zone, and what sort of swings are the opponents getting against you? Let me ask you this. Did it look like the Giants were uncomfortable hitting against Kenley Jansen the last 2 nights? No.
Absolutely not.
Not at all.
Zero
right?
Fear, zero.
None.
Absolutely not.
Look at the way that they take at-bats against Walker Buehler. Mm-hmm. Look at the way that they took at-bats against Blake Treinen. Terribly uncomfortable.
Their eyes probably light up when they're thinking, okay, Kenley's coming in. I mean, they haven't – think about the Giants. I told you, 14-plus innings. Actually, even more than that because you add Blake into the mix. They got 1 run going into the 9th. On 2 different nights. You know what I mean? So like that concept or that idea of, wait, Kenley's coming in, Trav, they probably never felt more confident throughout the evening.
there's a fight at the bat rack when Kenley Jansen comes in. No, it's my turn. No, 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 me. I'm up first. No. I want to hit first. There's a fight at the bat rack when Kenley Jansen comes into that. And that's just the way that it's going right now, and it needs to be addressed. And Dave Roberts needs to acknowledge the fact that it's happening, because the house is on fire, and you're saying, no, it's fine. We're just cooking in the back. It's just a barbecue.
It's a great
no,
point.
It's not.
He's not acknowledging it. That's an excellent point. He's putting his feet down even further. What I say is his quote on Wednesday, I'm not going to rethink his role. His quote after Thursday's loss, I'm not reconsidering his role. He's not saying anything different.
Rethink, reconsider, change, do it. Whatever verb you want to use, it needs to be addressed. It needs to be addressed last night, and today is 2 days too late, because now the Dodgers are 3 games back instead of a game ahead, which is exactly where they should be. More of your phone calls coming up in a bit, 877-710-ESPN. And how about this? 0-for-25. One of the Dodgers' best players, 0-for-his-last-25. We'll tell you who it is next. Travis and Slee, 710-ESPN. Speaking of a good question, how about this one? This is from David Gibson on Twitter, Slee. It says, what's going through a starting pitcher's mind when the closer blows it? I think this is a good question, not just because of the question itself, but I think the answer varies. I think that if you were Julio Urias on Wednesday night,
yeah,
and here comes Kenley Jansen and the Dodgers kick the game and they lose, you're thinking, man, that sucks, but oh well, you know, it's baseball. It's going to happen a handful of times a year.
Sure.
Happen tonight, whatever. I think if you're Walker Buehler last night, or really not just the starting pitcher, but a lot of guys on that team, and no one's ever going to say this. No
sure.
one will ever say this out loud. It's, man, what the hell is he doing in the game?
Of course.
Give the guy a night off. Mm-hmm. He threw 27 pitches the last night. He only got one out. Why are we bringing him back? Mm-hmm. You're having to throw 33 more pitches, and this time he only gets two outs? What? Huh? I think that's not just, that's the reaction of the starting pitcher. That's the reaction of a lot of guys on the team. Not that they're mad at Kenley. It's not that. It's not, okay, no, that guy sucks. It's not that at all.
They want to see Kenley win as much as anybody else.
Of course they do. Mm-hmm. Of course they do. But it's more of a, what the hell is he doing out there? Why did Dave? And then here's another thing. So we mentioned it in passing a couple of times,
yeah.
But I think it's important. On the check swing, when Darren Ruff clearly went around, right, and they missed it. They said no swing. It's ball four. Run comes in. Mm-hmm. Dave loses his you-know-what, and he
yep.
spikes his hat, and he runs out there. To me, that wasn't, hey, I'm pissed that you blew the call. This was a little bit of a lot of stuff is starting to come up right now, the pressure, that there was a little bit of a crack right there. This was the equivalent of when you're in an airplane, and it starts to bounce around in the middle of the air, and you're thinking, okay, I don't love that feeling, that turbulence
yeah.
that we've all had.
What's
what
your pilot going to do?
The pilot comes on the mic and says, hey, guys, don't worry. A little choppy air right here. We'll be through it in 4 or 5 minutes. Not a big deal. We're fine. What he doesn't do is pop on the mic and say, what the hell was that? What? Does anybody know what that was? Does anybody – hey, co-pilot, what the hell? What the hell are you doing over there? No. And he was the panicky
pilot. Did
you
guys feel that
last night? I don't even know what that was. Why is that light
your
on?
Pilot ever comes on and says, do you guys feel that?
I don't know what that was. Why is that light on? Why is that light flashing?
But there's the thing.
That was Dave last night.
I get the analogy. The analogy is Dave didn't look like he was in control, right? Like, he feels that those decisions that he's made, I thought you said it perfect. You know, the teammates of Kenley Jansen want to see Kenley Jansen succeed. But also, the teammates of Kenley Jansen are saying in the back of their mind, is this really that smart of a decision? Mm-hmm. This is coming from our manager.
It's a hard team to beat, and you had him beat twice, and it got away.
You want to look out for Kenley Jansen. I get it. I understand that. You do what you have to do. It's a 162-game grind. But these are decisions you're making that it feels a little bit more like common sense. It feels like you're gambling way too much against a team that you're chasing in the division that has the best record in Major League Baseball. Just don't feel like these were not the times to throw Kenley Jansen out there for 60 pitches in two straight nights.
He threw 60 pitches and he got four outs. Three outs. He got three outs on 60 pitches.
A third and two-thirds. Yep.
Yeah, it's a bad deal. Travis Lee's brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Let's go to, let's see here. Let's try Santa Clarita and Tony. Tony, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up?
Hey, I was listening to the Giants radio broadcast, and they're saying that they're speculating that Jansen is not throwing enough cutters. He's throwing too many fastballs because it could have been the Ford substance new rules that he doesn't trust his cutter anymore because he could have been using some substance in the past and now he can't use it and he's got to go to the fastball too much.
Okay, that's an interesting thought because I think a lot of people are trying to connect, you know, situations to the crackdown on the sticky stuff. Number one, they're not checking quite as much as they were. Number two, he could have put super glue on the ball last year and he was getting his head kicked in. You know what I mean? If it was just this year, I'd be more open to the suggestion that it's sticky stuff. But he pitched poorly last year, and you could have loaded up the ball with anything you wanted, and he still wasn't getting guys out. So I don't know how much that is. Let's get another one in here quickly. Let's go downtown. Manny, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up?
What's up, guys? Good morning. I work at a huge place in downtown L.A., and there was a bunch of Dodger fans pregame and during the game, and especially postgame. We were all devastated last night because not the fact that Kinley blew it again, but the decision-making by Dave Robertson, just like you guys said this morning, gambling, rolling the dice on a team who's definitely playing better than we all thought they would, and just pretty much throwing in a guy that he doesn't believe that lost it. And we're just, like I said, I'm stumbling for words here because it's so hard to understand why you would put someone in who threw out so many pitches last night, and he took the game ball away from Walker Buehler, who I was shocked to give up one base.
Yeah, we lost
Manny there. Losing Manny right there. Well, here's the thing, and I know we took as many calls as we could today. Just stay tuned on 710 ESPN. You'll get a chance to react the rest of the day as well with all the other shows. Trav,
we should do two more hours.
Wait, that's all we need. That's all we need. I'm going to read off one tweet here because we do have to go to break. Dave in San Clemente, at Alan Sliwa, new favorite at Travis Rogers impression is drunk emotional Trav. Work on that over the weekend. Work on that over the weekend. If we can, and I don't mean work on it as in practicing. I mean literally drink as much as you can. And
no. You don't want that. Slee, let me tell you. No. Hey, listen.
Milwaukee, we dogs.
I've worked with a lot of guys. I've worked with a lot of guys in a lot of different places.
Travis, I just want to tell you. Funches, bro. You're not even talking to me.
I just want to tell you that you, Slee, I love you, buddy. I love you. That ain't happening. We're not doing that. We are not. What we are going to do is we're going to do the dump, and it's coming up next. It's Travis and Slee.
Yes, man.
I want to throw this one in here right off the top, Al, because Cody Bellinger's 0 for his last 25. This is Major League Baseball. I get it. You're gonna have 3 for 25 stretches. You're gonna have maybe even a 4 for 30 stretch. 0 for 25. This guy won the MVP 2 years ago. 0 for 25. What is going on?
Do you feel like he's getting enough attention, enough heat, enough criticism? I don't feel like he is. I feel like we're having a lot of different conversations about the Dodgers, and Bellinger has kind of been kept under the radar.
Yeah, I agree with you because you look at he's batting .152. I get it that batting average isn't what it used to be, that you don't have to be Tony Gwynn and hit .340.
He's been awful at the plate.
His on base, he's getting on base 26% of the time. That's terrible. His slugging percentage is .255. That's like a mediocre pitcher slugging percentage. And this is a guy who's and here's the thing. If he had just come off an injury and he was taking him a little while to kind of reacclimate, okay, fine. He was bad last year too, and it's a short season. Okay, but you put all this stuff together. He's gone two seasons now where he's been anything other than the MVP we saw 3 seasons ago. He's still a good center fielder. He still runs the bases. I still think he plays hard, but you can't have this guy playing like this for this long. It's a killer.
It's a lot of excuses too for him. So I think it's what you're referring to here. A lot of these close games that you're in, if Bellinger can get something going, maybe Urias and Walker Buehler are working with some more runs.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. The Cleveland Indians will become the Cleveland Guardians next season, Al. They just made that announcement earlier today. Your gut reaction to Cleveland Guardians is?
Weird. Very weird. Just doesn't sound it doesn't. Sometimes you hear certain names, and I know it's not an easy thing to do. You got to change it, and you have so much just equity built with another name. It's weird to me. What do you think?
I agree with you. It's really challenging because you're going one of two ways, right? You can either go super safe and be like the Houston Oilers can rebrand as the Tennessee Titans. Titans is about as safe as it gets, right? Mm-hmm. You can go off the board and try to get creative and get a Seattle Kraken, right? That's cool. But it's really hard to get one right without sounding really stupid. But I like Guardians because, A, guards, you know, that's fine. There are no other Guardians. There's no other team in Major League Baseball or professional sports, at least that I know, that's called Guardians. And it sounds oddly familiar, even though it's brand new. I kind of like it.
It's gonna take a little while to get used to that. Let's just put it that way.
All right. Should I watch the Dodger game tonight, or is it a health risk for me?
You should watch the Dodger game and see if they get back on track. By the way, three against the Rockies, and then you got the Giants again. ESPN app or on iTunes, Travis and Sliwa Show. Catch it on the podcast.
710 ESPN. We'll see you Monday.